Offside.
Evropska sedemletka. Evropska komisija je prejšnjo sredo predstavila večletni finančni okvir za obdobje od leta 2028 do leta 2034, znan kot MFF, v višini 2000 milijard evrov. Proračun temelji na treh finančnih stebrih ter namenja skoraj 118 milijard evrov za delovanje evropske administracije in 165 milijard evrov za odplačevanje dolga. Za prvi steber, ki vključuje sredstva za kohezijsko, kmetijsko in migransko politiko, je v obliki nacionalno-regionalnih partnerskih načrtov namenjenih 865 milijard evrov, kar je skoraj polovica celotnega proračuna. Drugo področje vključuje novi sklad za spodbujanje konkurenčnosti evropskega gospodarstva, tretje pa je namenjeno zunanjemu delovanju Evropske unije. Novo strukturo MFF-a predstavi novinar Euraktiva Jakob Wolf-Wold.
Traditionally, one third of the budget have been reserved for farmer support. One third have been reserved for lagging regions to help with regional development. And then the rest have been sort of split between, you know, foreign policy, but also some research funds or, you know, administration. And now the new budget has basically half of the budget is a combination of all the farmer funds and the regional funds in a very new format. So we have sort of the National Plans Fund, which is going to be something like 865 billion, I think. That's the more traditional funding for regions and farmers, but in a very new format. And then on the other side, you've introduced this new competitiveness fund, which is much more about, you know, research and innovation and investments in these critical technologies.
Drugi steber proračuna, cilj katerega je spodbujanje konkurenčnosti gospodarstva, določa financiranje programov Erasmus Plus in instrument za povezovanje Evrope v višini 122 milijard evrov. Cilj instrumenta je spodbujanje naložb v sektorjih prometa, energije in telekomunikacij. Skoraj 451 milijard evrov bo namenjenih kompasu za konkurenčnost, v katerem bo združenih 12 različnih evropskih inicijativ. V okviru kompasa bo za obrambo in vesoljsko tehnologijo namenjenih 131 milijard evrov, 175 milijard evrov pa bo namenjenih programu Obzorje Evropa za financiranje raziskav in inovacij. Žolt Darvas, raziskovalec pri možganskem trustu Bruegel in na univerzi v Corvinus v Budimpešti, meni, da želi komisija poenostaviti postopek pridobivanja sredstev za podjetja in raziskovalne inštitute.
The new competitiveness fund combines several instruments from the previous EU budget and also very importantly it includes a much larger volume of EU spending than before. But also before, in the current multi-annual financial framework, there are funds for research, for education, also for some industrial policy measures. Also, some of the new cross-country energy competitiveness issues, energy connectivity issues, will be also included in this new competitiveness fund. Again, there were such facilities in the previous MFF. But in this new, the proposed new one would increase by a factor of five or a very major increase is planned for cross-border energy connectivity. So all these are good, or, you know, these will presumably help competitiveness of European companies. But I still think that, you know, somewhat the devil is in the details. Now, certainly this new competitiveness fund will reduce the number of previous funds which were available for similar purposes. And also the Commission aims to streamline the application process to make it easier for companies and research institutes to access these funds. But, you know, devil in the detail, you know, whether it will result in simplification or will remain as burdensome as in the current EU budget.
Ob predstavitvi proračuna se je predsednica Evropske komisije Ursula von der Leyen pohvalila, da bo poskrbel za cvetenje evropske industrije. Novinar Wolf Wold pojasni, da je kompas za konkurenčnost odgovor na poročilo, ki ga je pripravil nekdanji predsednik italijanske vlade in predsednik Evropske centralne banke Mario Draghi. Draghi je pripravo poročila o konkurenčnosti Evropske unije naložila komisija. V njem pa je zapisal, da bi unija potrebovala bolj usklajeno industrijsko politiko in obsežne naložbe. Po poročilu bi morala Evropa za reševanje šibke gospodarske rasti vložiti dodatnih 800 milijard evrov, pri tem pa bolje mobilizirati zasebni kapital.
Last year we had the Draghi report. It was this big report on Europe's competitiveness, basically. And it was really, it's this previous finance minister and prime minister of Italy that delivered this report. And he was sort of welcomed as a prophet of doom a year ago. And he laid out all of Europe's problems. He basically said Europe is facing an existential challenge of lacking productivity compared to China and the US. So there's a sense of crisis that we really need to do. We really need to be more ambitious and change course in Europe to basically plug this. You speak about an investment gap. So this is the new flagship element of this budget, is basically this competitiveness fund. And the goal is to basically focus both public and private capital around Europe into, you know, strategic technologies, defense technologies, but also AI, biotech, all these technologies that we think will be very important for the future and get Europe up to speed.
Trenutni finančni okvir, ki velja do leta 2027, znaša 1074 milijard evrov. Državam članicam Evropske unije pa so na voljo tudi sredstva iz 750 milijardnega sklada za okrevanje po pandemiji COVID-19. Trenutni MFF je vreden 1,1 odstotka. Predlagani proračun v višini 1800 milijard evrov prejšnjega presega za 665 milijard evrov in predstavlja 1,15 odstotka bruto nacionalnega prihodka, krajše BND. BND je dohodkovni koncept enak bruto domačemu proizvodu, povečanemu za primarne dohodke iz tujine in zmanjšanemu za primarne dohodke izplačane v tujino. Evropska komisija predlaga tudi 5 novih virov financiranja proračuna, med drugim tudi trošarine za tobak in tobačne izdelke. Vire financiranja predstavi Wolf Wold.
You can basically think of it as GDP, except I guess, yeah, it's just a bit different metric. So basically the previous budget was financed 56% by what you call GNI contribution. So it's basically based on how big is your economy, and then you give a contribution that's proportional to how big your economy is. Then the rest of the budget is financed by EU-specific income sources, which could be tariffs or, you know, EU-wide taxes or carbon levies, for example, on the EU level. So what's happening now is already there's, as you said, a large chunk of the budget is reserved for repaying the loan, the EU-wide loan that Europe took to recover after the pandemic. And in addition to that, still counting that, the Commission wants to increase the budget. And also a lot of countries are straining their finances. So what they also proposed is new income sources for the EU, which are, it's a tobacco tax, for example, a tax on large corporations, and some more carbon levies. So this would, in some sense, this is politically easier to negotiate, because then, you know, the national governments don't see their budgets go down because they have to contribute more to the EU. But of course, it's also comes from the member states in the end, right? But the thing is, it's really hard to find extra money for the EU budget, which is why you're discussing this new income sources.
Slovenski finančni minister Klemen Boštjančič je po predstavitvi predloga dejal, da je ta za Slovenijo zelo ugoden. Nasprotujejo pa mu predstavniki več držav, med njimi predstavniki Nemčije, Švedske in Nizozemske, po mnenju katerih je proračun previsok. Odziv držav predstavi sogovornik.
It's been criticized from different sides. I mentioned Germany says it's too much. Still, other countries, you know, rebel against this merging of cap and cohesion. Parliament has also said they don't even want to start negotiations with these national plans, because actually these plans would be negotiated just between the Commission and the member states and then approved by the Council, which leaves Parliament kind of sidelined. So this is now the question. What often happens with this is, since you need unanimity, what happens is the Commission tries to present something that they try to present changes, but then during the negotiations, you need to get everyone aboard. And so all the changes get watered down until it's not so different from the previous one. I can see that playing out two ways, you know. Either it's just, it's too radical, so it's just flatly, you know, rejected by the member states, and then we return to normal. Or the success story is, actually, we've now changed the whole frame of the debate.
Nekatere države članice, med njimi tudi Slovenija, so že pred predstavitvijo proračuna Evropski komisiji poslale tako imenovani non-paper, v katerem so nasprotovale centralizaciji sredstev. 14 držav je zahtevalo samostojno kohezijsko politiko, ki je v predlogu združena s kmetijskimi sredstvi. Združevanju tokov financiranja v enoten sklad je nasprotovala tudi skupina socialdemokratov v Evropskem parlamentu. Zakaj so se države odločile za poziv na primeru Italije, pojasni Wolf Wold.
For example, if you look at Italy, one change which was at least in the draft, and I think it's there still, is that the cash for each country will be decided by national GDP instead of regional GDPs, which, for example, for Italy is very bad because they have more prosperous regions in the north and less prosperous in the south, but their national GDP is then pretty high, but their southern regions would then get more funds. I think also it's partly just protecting cohesion funds. So those who get a lot of cohesion funds, they want to protect it. And also internally in their countries, these regions that are used to getting quite big funds are also powerful interest groups.
Mnoge kritike je požel tudi ukrep, ki predvideva združevanje skladov namenjenih kohezijski politiki in kmetijstvu. Proti podobnim idejam, ki jih je komisija prvič predstavila lanskega maja, so se izrekla predvsem združenja kmetov. Ideji prav tako nasprotuje komisar za kmetijstvo Kristof Hansen. Več o spremembi strukture stebrov in kaj to pomeni za kohezijsko politiko, komentira Darvas.
If cohesion and agriculture is combined, then you know, it could force countries or encourage countries for a more strategic thinking and prepare a, you know, more comprehensive plan without overlaps. Because even currently in the current EU budget, some agriculture policy, for example, aims to foster rural development, which is somewhat similar to what also cohesion policy aims to achieve, because one goal of cohesion policy is to help regions to prosper, and also rural development also have the same goal. So if the two main instruments are under the same roof, then this might foster avoiding overlaps and a more strategic thinking. So I think the main idea is right, but I'd also see some risks here, not particularly to the aspect that cohesion and agriculture policy would be merged. I think that's a more acceptable solution. But that this funding would be based on these national and regional partnership plans. And in fact, the experience of the Recovery and Resilience Facility makes me cautious, because for those facilities, EU countries prepared completely different plans.
V tokratni oddaji smo na kratko predstavili sestavo proračuna. Naslednjič pa lahko prisluhnete oddaji, namenjeni predvsem prvemu stebru proračuna, v katerem so tudi kohezijska sredstva. Offside je pripravil Tim. Oddaja je nastala v okviru projekta Govoriš kohezijsko, lokalno, ki ga podpira Evropska komisija. Mnenja podana v oddaji ne odražajo mnenj Evropske komisije, ki pa tudi ne odgovarja za uporabo informacij, navedenih v oddaji.
Bundeskuld. Hvilken vej den østlige samhørige region?
Ste nas pogrešali. Še vedno ne govorite kohezijsko. Projekt Govoriš kohezijsko je nazaj, z njim pa je napočil čas, da tudi vi prestavite v višjo prestavo in končno osvojite dolgo izmikajoči se B2 nivo. Projekt financira Evropska unija. Za vsebino je odgovoren izključno izvajalec projekta Radio Študent in partner CNVOS. Vsebina ne odraža nujno stališč financerja.